Well, good morning to those who are regular and to those who are a newcomer with us. Just a warm welcome to you as you've come to worship with us and as we receive our offering. We give as an act of worship. We give because of what Jesus has done for us, and we are thankful. Well, today marks the end of our week of prayer, a scheduled week of prayer that we have set aside over these last 7-8 days to go to the Lord, to listen to the Lord as leaders, as a church family. We've invited our church family into this week of prayer, trusting that God is moving even when we don't necessarily always see tangible results or results as quickly as we'd like to see, even when we think sometimes our faith is a little bit small or we wonder if anything is kind of really happening. But we do believe that God is alive. We believe that, as we've been singing, that He has risen from the dead, and therefore we have great hope. We have great strength and power in that. And so today, as we conclude our week of prayer, we want to celebrate. We want to celebrate, and we want to hear from you, the people of God, what God has been up to and where He's been at work. As we pray. Now, obviously, prayer is not relegated to one week or to one day or to one hour. Prayer should be an outflow of a disciple of Christ's relationship with Him. It should be an ongoing kind of relationship, a language that exists between us and Jesus. But it's important every once in a while to elevate certain priorities. And prayer is one of those priorities that we need to elevate as a church family and in our church ministry. Now, I'm not going to walk around this morning through the crowds, through the rows, and do a homework check to see, like, so how did you do? Did you spend time in prayer this last week? Did you spend time every day? Did you spend at least an hour? I'm not going to do that. And some of you are going, whoo, thank you. You know, like, I was a little concerned that you were going to give me a grade on my prayer life. No, that's that's not what I'm going to do. But I will say that prayer is hard work. Would you agree? Prayer requires a lot of discipline. It requires perseverance, patience, diligence. It's hard work. When I first started to see my relationship with Jesus take sort of that next step and the roots go even deeper, it was when I was 18 and I began to prayer walk as a spiritual discipline in my life. I grew up in southern Manitoba, and so I would literally walk around the countryside, around the farm where we lived and where I had grown up, and I would pray. I'd walk for miles in the flat roads and the quiet of the day or evening. The exception would be probably with the crickets chirping, but it was there as an 18-year-old. Those were the beginnings of a personal relationship with God through prayer. I would be able to slow down to hear what He was saying by His Spirit who lives within all followers of Christ. I would be able to meditate on the Scriptures and to kind of reflect and apply what He was saying to me. I'd be able to focus, something which is really, really challenging in a very full life that we live in. So those were my beginnings. Well, years have passed, and here in Prince George, I prayer walk around Tenet Park. And so at the beginning of this week of prayer, I went there on Monday. Monday was a beautiful blue sky day. It was warm sunshine, and I was so stoked. I was excited about spending significant time walking through the park and just praying. Praying for the city of Prince George, praying for Westwood Church family, praying for the direction that God wants to lead us on, praying for my family, my marriage, you know, praying, right? And I was excited. And I get out of my pickup truck, and I clearly didn't get the memo that in order to prayer walk at Tenet Park with the temperatures that we've been having, you need to have a CSA-approved helmet and full-body Kevlar. I think I made it about 150 meters before I realized that my focus was not going to be on prayer. It was going to be on not breaking a body part. So I gingerly turned around and made my way back to the pickup truck and had to make other plans. Plans changed. Tuesday came, and I had plans to spend some significant time carving out of my day to pray. The problem was from 8 a.m. till 5 p.m., I literally had meetings booked from one meeting to the next, to the next, to the next. And then at 5, I had to run home to grab my son for volleyball so that I could get home by 7 to have dinner together with the family. And all of a sudden, my great plans to spend focused, intentional time seeking the Lord had completely faded away. That was the beginning of this week of prayer that was supposed to be so awesome and great. Prayer is hard work. It's tough. It requires perseverance. Many of you can relate. You have good intentions, but then something kind of distracts or sidetracks you. You got a fast-paced schedule, and you're trying to pray from driving your kid from point A to point B, or from going from this meeting to the next, and you wonder, like, was that even a prayer? Like, did God even hear me? Or you wonder sometimes if your faith is just a little bit on the smallish side. You've been praying for something, and you're just not quite sure if you kind of have the faith, and you wonder, like, are you missing it? Are you disappointing God? Is he even, like, interested in our puny prayers? Prayer is hard work. And prayer is necessary for a disciple of Jesus to grow in their relationship with God. It's critical. It's critical for the life of our church family. Those things are true. But you know what's also true? And this is what God taught me this last week. What's also true is that it's not all up to you, and it's not all up to me, because I discovered anew that Jesus is praying for you and for me. Did you know that? I'm pretty sure I knew that in the past, but it kind of hit me afresh this last week. So we wanted this morning to be an encouragement to our church family that God is at work, even when we don't necessarily always see the immediate and tangible results, even when we sometimes wonder if we're kind of cutting it, and if he actually hears our smallish sized prayers, or if we're disappointing God. We wonder if God is doing anything. This is what God spoke to me through his word, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25. Therefore, he, that's Jesus, is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he, that is Jesus, always lives to intercede for them. And those words struck me anew this last week, and they captured my heart as I sat there in wonder and gratitude. Here's why. You see, one of the big themes in the entire book of Hebrews is that Jesus is greater. Jesus is greater than all the greats you can possibly ever imagine. Greater. Greater than angels. Greater than the priests who spoke on behalf of God to the people. He's greater. Greater than all those awesome leaders like Moses and Abraham, David, Joseph, greater. Why was Jesus greater? Well, because no other person, as great as some of them were without flaw. Jesus was perfect. All other people, when they died, they stayed dead. Jesus, he rose from the dead. He became victorious over sin and the grave. And because of those realities, Jesus became the perfect sacrifice offered to his heavenly Father so that sin could be forgiven once and for all, and that all people could now have access to our heavenly Father through Jesus. Getting to God, having a relationship with God, doesn't happen any other way. It's all through Jesus. So Jesus is greater. But then right in the middle of the book of Hebrews, captured in this big theme of Jesus being greater, is this amazing truth that Jesus always lives to intercede for them. I want you to see for just a moment the power of these words. Who's the focus of this verse? I kind of already shared it. Who is it? Jesus. You can actually shout it out loud. You know, I mean, I realize we're not a Pentecostal church or a charismatic church, but we can shout the name of Jesus out loud. Jesus is the focus of this verse. And what are we told Jesus is doing? He's interceding. What does interceding mean? Interceding means to intervene or to go on behalf of another. And there's more. It's a present tense indicative verb, and you're going, yeah, thanks for teaching me grammar, Pastor Rob. You know what that means? It means that it is an ongoing, continuous action that happens in real time, as in right now. Right now. And this interceding doesn't happen once in a while, or when Jesus feels like it, or when he has time, but he is interceding for his children always. For everyone who seeks God through him, Jesus intercedes always. And I was like, whoa, I love this. So, I had a full week, thought I was going to have this awesome prayer walk around the park, and couldn't stay upright. And Jesus is interceding for me while my plans change. So your life is full, and you get distracted easily, and your hope for a focused prayer time kind of vanished or went out the window. Well, maybe it's something that you and I have to work on as a disciple of Christ. But you know what? You need to be encouraged that Jesus is praying for you right now before Heavenly Father. Or you're here and you are having a particularly challenging and difficult season of life, and you don't even know if it's worth it to pray. Like, really? Does it make a difference? What's the big deal? You wonder if following Jesus is actually worth it. The truth is that Jesus, who is greater, is interceding on your behalf before God, our Heavenly Father, right now. And he's doing it continually. Or you're disappointed because you've been asking for something, you've been praying to the Lord for something very, very specifically, and you are not seeing any results. And you're getting discouraged, and you're wondering if God hears you, and you're wondering if you're all alone in your pursuit of answers. But you're not, based on this verse, because Jesus, the one who is greater, is right beside you. And he is actively praying with you and on your behalf. You're not alone. Or perhaps you're a person who seeks to pray, but you wonder at times if your faith is just a little bit small. And you kind of look at the person next to you, or you look at that Christian leader or that pastor, and you go, man, to have the kind of Wendy's biggie-sized faith that that person has, like, that's what I want. That's what real spiritual people have. Well, maybe you do need to be challenged on the kind of faith that you have. But you also need to grab onto this truth that Jesus is praying for you all the time, and Jesus' faith is not just a little big, it's like really, really big. Jesus size big. And I go, this is amazing. So we want to celebrate Jesus, who is greater, the one who comes alongside and prays for you and for me and our church family. We want to celebrate and build one another up in our faith as we encourage one another how God is at work. Sometimes we don't necessarily always see it. Sometimes we do. And we want to do that in the body of Christ, in the community of faith. So the question that I want you to reflect on as we worship through song and through testimony is, where are you experiencing God at work through prayer? Maybe you have a word for the body of Christ, for your church family today, and God wants you to share that which you've been learning, that which he's been teaching you, maybe something that he is showing you or your family. And this body, the church family, needs to hear it. We want to invite you to do that as we sing and as we worship. We have a mic right up here. And as we sing, I would invite you to just come, make your way here. Pastor Corinne will give you space. And she will encourage you to share that word, and then you can be seated again. What a wonderful way to end the week of prayer, by blessing one another and celebrating Jesus, who is greater, who is with us in all of our seasons, in all of the things that we're going through. He's right there with us. Let's stand together and sing. And as we sing, if you have a word, just come up here and we'll give you some space to share. And Becca to join me on the platform. I want to invite the elders that are in this service, and members of the search team who are in the service, and youth leaders who are in the service, and then youth. If you are one of our youth, grade 6 to grade 12, would you come and join us on the platform? Well, it was super exciting and encouraging to be a part of the commissioning on the Willow Parks end of things, and so we're going to do the same thing on this end, because it is such a wonderful thing when one church can send another. And so I want to read a few words from 1 Timothy chapter 4 to you as a encouragement, but also a charge. These words are from the Apostle Paul to Timothy, a younger pastor. We don't know how old Timothy was. Maybe he was 25, something like you. But he was a younger pastor. And Paul, his mentor and teacher, shared these words with him. "Don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in life, in love, in faith, and in purity. Until I come, devote yourself to the public reading of Scripture, to preaching and to teaching. Do not neglect your gift, which was given you through a prophetic message when the body of elders lay their hands on you. Be diligent in these matters. Give yourself wholly to them so that everyone may see your progress. Watch your life and your doctrine closely. Persevere in them, because if you do, you will save both yourself and your hearers." I think those are wonderful words to share with you on this day as you start your service among us. So let me ask you, as a covenant that we are making, you to us and us to you, will you commit to loving Jesus and his word? Will you commit to seeking to follow Jesus with your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Will you, David, seek to love your wife and your children deeply? Will you love the youth that God has placed in your care and the youth that God is going to yet place in your care? Would you commit to having a faithful witness in word and in deed, serving together with your new church family, Westwood, as you did with your old Willow Park? If you agree to these things, would you respond accordingly? Awesome. Now, as I said, this is not a one-way deal. This is not, if David does some things, then Westwood is happy. And if he doesn't do some good things, then we're not. This is a relationship where we are committing and covenanting to David and Becca in the same way that they are committing and covenanting to serve with us. So let me ask our church family. If you are here and you are a part of our church family and you are prepared to covenant with David and Becca, your support, your prayer, your encouragement, your blessing, would you stand together by way of showing that to them? And would you simply respond, "We will." Please remain standing, and we're going to pray a prayer of blessing and commissioning on David and Becca. This morning, we have Sam Fung, one of our youth leaders, and Bob Gammer, one of our elders, who are going to lead us in prayer together. And for those of us who are up here on the platform, would you gather around David and Becca, and let's lay hands on them. And if you can't reach them, that's okay. Lay hand on another person. They'd appreciate that.
Lord, we thank you for answering our prayers, for blessing us with David and Rebecca Cellini. And Lord, we pray that as David and Rebecca settle in Prince George, that you be with them and with the new child that they will be expecting as well. And Lord, that you work in the hearts and that you work through them to impact the lives of our youth that is in our community. Thank you, Lord, and we pray in your name. Amen.
Heavenly Father, we are celebrating today. Praise the Lord. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for bringing these two wonderful people, David and Becca, who put up their hands and said, "We will do the work." And we thank you that they have come forward and come to us. And like so many people we read about in Scripture who have left their home and have come to someplace new, we ask that you would bless them in this and bless them in their marriage and in the child they're expecting this year. Lord, bless their work as they work together to love the youth in Westwood and to become part of our family and really sink their roots down here in Prince George. Lord, help us to support them and to be faithful to them too. And we want to work alongside them so that together we can all be useful and faithful in your kingdom, Heavenly Father. So please, we ask your blessing on this and on our congregation today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated.